Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another Grayscale Gorilla podcast. We are on episode 57. As always, we've got Chris Schmidt. Say hi, Chris. And my man, Nick.
Bah, bah, bah. I like the sound effects, Chris. You inspired me.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what? We need like a sound effect guy that just like adds sound effects to our show. Welcome to another show. Glad to have you with us. I guess we'll start off things with news. What do we have in terms of news? I was lucky enough to be asked onto the Learn Squared live cast, which is on their Twitch channel. And if you don't know Learn Squared, you will put a note or a link down below in the show notes. They're a fantastic group of guys over there. Ash Thorpe and the crew had me on the show. And I got to say, I wasn't sure what to expect, but when I got on the show, I quickly realized that these were people that I could hang out with. And I immediately kind of like, you know, broed out with them. And that's such a stupid, I wish I hadn't said that, broed out. But
what did you expect? You know,
that, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, they were fantastic. And it was a lot of inappropriate humor, which I absolutely love. If you know me outside of the show, then you know I'm down for that sort of humor. And these guys brought it in spades. I mean, like they were. I think my mouth was kind of like a gape, like right when it started, and I kind of realized what this show was going to be like because it basically turned into like a Render Wars discussion.
Oh, it's like the ultimate. You guys got deep into that one. It's like the ultimate Render Wars discussion over on the Learn Squared Live.
So we had people from the Octane camp and from V-Ray for 3DS Max camp, which was normally doesn't.
It's a different camp.
Yeah, yeah. A completely different like camp.
And were then you wearing your red shirt, your Redshift shirt or your Arnold shirt?
Like I was wearing both. And like, I made a case for not being, I think they thought I was the Arnold guy and I'm like, nah, I'm not really. I'm like, I kind of like bounce around whatever works and whatever I think is doing the best. And they were like, oh, okay. So I was kind of talking about Redshift a lot and you should go check it out. It's probably still up on their Twitch channel.
Yeah. We'll link it up in the show notes and we never say this until the end of the podcast, but we do have show notes. We try to keep up with anything we mention. We'll put it in the description on YouTube if you're watching live. Or if you're watching video, hi, mom. Or if you're listening on the podcast, we'll have this up on our blog. So we'll be taking notes.
Yeah. So go check that out. Yeah, it was fun. What else do we have in news? You guys have anything before we get jumping in on this?
Yeah, we just opened up David Brodeur's Animation Fundamentals course. We only do this course about once a quarter. And we got David Brodeur, which you might know from Locked and Loading on his Instagram, does a ton of great stuff with Octane and some really, really interesting renders over there. And this is actually going to be our fifth class. Over 200 people have joined us in the past year to learn animation. If you've looked at the timeline like I have and wondered what all those lines do and finally wanted to like get control of your objects in Cinema 4D and not rely on dynamics like I do for almost everything I animate, go check it out. We're getting started next week. The course is going to start on April 10th, I think it is. But we're going to link that up here as well. So make sure you go check that out over on the website. And we hope to see you in the class. What else? What else is going on? We're all getting ready for NAB. Chris, how's your NAB presentation?
Good. I actually did a little work on it over the weekend. Not a ton, but I'm just trying to build up my list of tips and tricks.
Nice.
Get the best list possible. I think I mentioned it, but what always happens is I build this giant list. I'm all super intimidated where I have to make all these different things. I actually go and do the presentation. And I would have written down like double the amount as I should have to get through. So then I get to just chop out all the crappy ones and keep the amazing ones.
That's a good feeling. I need to get going on mine. I feel like I've got it in a good place, like where I think it's going to go, but I haven't actually solidified anything yet. So I'm a little nervous. I got to get that done.
Yeah, I went through mine again this weekend, and I'm kind of rebuilding it in a way. It's going to be, I'm trying to find a title too, but I think the idea of the whole presentation is going to be things that every Cinema 4D user should know. So these won't be tips that are more obscure. I think, you know, Chris will definitely have a lot more advanced stuff than mine. But what I'm trying to get at are the things that everybody would use in every workflow. And some of those things, when you figure them out in your career, you're like, man, I wish I knew this 5 years ago. I would have saved, you know, 10 seconds every time I do this, which is every day over the last 5 years. You start doing the math on those things and it's like, man, I really wish I would have known that was there. So I'm pretty excited for this one. It's kind of getting back classic. We're going GSG classic with this one.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, like I haven't been doing it nearly as long as you guys, obviously, but I'm the last ones that I've done, they're always based on rendering or lighting or something. And this is the first time that I'm like, I feel weird that I'm not actually doing anything. I'm not diving into any lighting or rendering. It's all strictly about workflow stuff and how to use Cinema 4D to alleviate stress. I know that sounds really weird, but like, it's the thing that somebody I wish would have made when I was coming from 3ds Max and learn, you know, trying to figure out how to run a job through Cinema 4D. So I'm going to be sharing everything that I've learned in that respect. And a lot of it has to do with relieving stress and like keeping your scenes light and airy and not going overboard. And
well, I might actually have a thing I should mention to you then, Chad, when we're offline. Cool. I think I just forgot a setting in Cinema. I forgot that might could be good for yours as
Dude,
well.
Dude, yeah, that would be rad.
They call this in the industry a teaser.
Yes.
You gotta go watch at C4D Live. I think they're doing the signups and everything over there now. If you want to get a reminder when everything goes live in Vegas, if you're not going to make it to the actual show, you could actually sign up at c4dlive.com. And you'll get an email that'll let you know, and you can come watch the show. They're going to be streaming from the Maxon booth, all the presentations, including the three of ours, many of our friends in the Cinema 4D community, and even some new people we haven't met yet, but checking out their work. They always bring great people to Vegas, to the Maxon booth. So make sure you sign up for that. And if you're in Vegas, I got to say, come say hi, because we're going to be at the booth. At the Maxon booth, right behind the Maxon booth, we're going to have the Grayscale Gorilla NAB booth, which we're super excited about. So come find us, come find the Maxon logo, and we'll be right next to it.
Yep. The Maxon live stream, the C4D live, that's the next best thing to actually being out in Vegas and drinking and gambling with us is hanging out and watching the live stream.
Yes. Although some mornings I probably guess some people would rather have stayed home.
That's probably true. Anyway, well, let's get on to our topic for the show. We talked a bit before we started airing about what we wanted to talk about today, and it seemed like this topic is something that I think everybody can relate to, whether you're freelance working remotely or maybe you're at a studio that deals with artists that work remotely. But yes, we want to talk about working remotely and a little bit more about that. We don't want to just talk about it as a subject. We've been doing remote working for over how long did you guys do it before I came on board? Was it a while?
Well, the history. Yeah, for us, it's been kind of when you started, Chad.
It's about a year.
Yeah, just over a year, maybe a year and a half. I guess when I left Chicago was when it really started happening. But we've always had people in the company that have worked. We've never really had an official studio. So in many ways, even in Chris's early years too, with the company, we were all working in our bedrooms. And I think even setting this up a little bit more, you know, I think a lot of us freelancers, obviously is a great example, but so many more people are working from home, or not even from home, but like from a remote workspace. But this
from Starbucks.
From Starbucks. I just got back from the road trip. So I definitely had some days in a Starbucks, but this topic in general, I think is really timely because of not just where the industry is going, but where a lot of business is going, no matter where you work. So, maybe we can all, you know, talk about working remotely, some challenges that we've had, some ways that we may have tried to fix it. And, you know, just try to help other people that are thinking about maybe freelancing or thinking about starting a small studio and realizing that you may not need that office that you think you need. You know, you might need it for clients and stuff like that. And I get those arguments, but I just see it so many times where you can hop on, like we're doing right here, on Google Hangouts and have a meeting, or hop on Slack. So maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't know what, who's been the newest at remote working? Because I feel like I started it right when Grayscale Gorilla started, and I've definitely have some stuff to say. But Chad, you've worked in like an office downtown for how long before now working in a bedroom?
God, long time, like 15 years probably. And so I kind of come at it from a unique perspective where I was the person working in a studio, commuting to the office, hiring, wanting to hire remote artists and having the studio say, no, we'd rather have them come in. And I was always like, well, you know, it's difficult to bring people in and put them up. And if they don't live in the city, then you got to fly them out, put them up in a hotel, all this stuff. And it's expensive and time consuming. And the argument from the producer standpoint was always that, well, it's just going to be easier to keep tabs on them and what they're doing and keep them on task and things like that. And also, I think studios tend to overthink remote people that want to work remotely. They think, well, okay, does that mean we have to get like a Cisco Systems, you know, monitor control room where we all go in and sit down and look at a giant TV and there's the, and they overthink it. And they
all put on your VR headsets.
Yeah, exactly. I've worked at a couple places that like have these room, the conference rooms that have like these, you know, $5,000 video conference systems. And I'm like, guys, everybody in that room has a laptop with a camera and a microphone. Like, this is not, your phone can do this. So I was, when I started working from home, I was like already kind of on board with the idea, and I was excited to try it and excited to see if it could work. And it can totally work. We've been doing it for a while now. If you're willing to just kind of understand that your mentality has to shift a little bit when you work from home, in that you have to become, my big tips are, if you're going to work from home, have a place that you can go that's yours. And whether it's an office in your house or a room that you can shut the door or something that you can seal yourself off from everything else that's going on at home. I think that's the biggest thing that I would suggest people do, just so that they can get a little bit of that separation, and it's both a separation in your headspace and physical kind of, you know, separation from your family, your dog, your whatever that might come in and interrupt you. But I was lucky enough to have a spare bedroom and turn that into an office, in which, you know, I can, it's on the opposite end of the house from everybody, so it's a little bit isolated. And if I didn't have that, it'd be a lot harder to work from home. Like, let's say if I was out in the open at the dining room table or something, that would be really hard for me to do that. And I can understand where producers might, if you have a bad experience, if you're a producer at a studio and you have a bad experience with one remote artist, you kind of assume that all remote artists work that way. And it's really not the case. If you find somebody that's been working remotely successfully for a long period of time, they're usually a pretty disciplined person. They're usually always available to chat. I think that with technology now, man, like, it's so easy. Like, we're using Hangouts, we've used Slacks, Appear-In, we've used other means of talking as a group. And I think Chris and I probably converse the most because we're working on tools that require back and forth. And it's like, if we were working on a project together, we're always available to each other, to each other's calls, just as if you were going to get up and walk over and say hi to another artist working on the project. You make yourself available to these video calls and share your screen and just kind of work, try to pretend that you're not working remotely, and don't get up from your desk for 4 hours without telling somebody you left, and, you know, just shit like that. You know,
I think We've talked a little bit about kind of our working from home workflow, but one of the biggest things, and the thing you're mentioning, Chad, is the biggest change and the most useful thing is that we spend a lot of time on Slack. We're on Slack all the time, like, and that's for casual chatting, like, hey, here's a thing, here's that file, here's, you know, we're just having conversations that way. But very quickly, and we've probably, everybody's probably dealt with this a bunch, when you're in some sort of chat room with people and you're chatting and you're trying to talk about some specific concept and you just you're typing for like 20 minutes and the two of you are still not talking properly. Like you're still not on the same topic, like talking past each other. And it's just like, this is going to take so long. We've gotten really good, I think, as a company to be like, got time for a chat? And it's like, yes. And then within 10 seconds, we're both in a video chat, having a conversation as if we're face to face. And it's like, and I think my threshold keeps getting lower and lower for that. We're like, hey, I've got this espresso thing. And it's like, let's just jump right onto a chat because we're going to talk about it for 2 minutes and have it figured out. Otherwise, we're going to be going back and forth for 10 minutes typing.
So no, that's a really good point. First of all, Slack or something like it is absolutely a must if you're working with a team remotely. It's something where you can just real time get somebody's attention. But yeah, I can see as we have become more comfortable asking, like, hey, can you jump on a video thing? I feel like we do them a lot more. And we're more efficient and we get more done because we're not, at first it was like email was like the ultimate pain in the ass, waste of time. Like just, oh God, I read an email to ask this question. And then it was like Slack and like instant messaging and whatever you use. And then it was like, that's better because now I can instantly get an answer. And now I feel like video conferencing, video chatting is like the next thing that people are going to be like, just constantly, you know, hey, let's talk. Boom, your screen's up, and that's going to be kind of like the new thing, I guess, where people are just constantly jumping into video chats.
Just because it's so smooth of a workflow for us, like we're just doing it so constantly. It's so like Appear In has been like one of the best things. You just open up a quick room, send the link, and like for me, like I have my kind of office area, and I have my bedroom set up, but I, you know, my brothers come over and work on their programming in the other room. So it does actually give me an excuse to get up and go into kind of my personal office rather than the main one.
Right.
And so there's even like that separation where like, you know, I do like the live stream in this room and I do like all the video calls. So I'm not bothering them with it. So it's for me, I even kind of get that, like, I'm going to get up and go talk to Chad. So it's like, I send you the video call and I get up and I move to the other room and it's just the laptop. I just pick the laptop up with the mouse and I walk in the other room. I put it down. Like often the call starts and you see me like walking, like I'm carrying you into the other room. And it's just, it's so simple. And it, like, I don't know. I bet a lot of people, because it happened to me, where you have like this hesitation of like, oh, we shouldn't start a call. It's too big of a deal. Like, it's too elaborate. Like, we'll just type. And it's, I think the typing's almost always like a bigger waste of time if you're having like a proper conversation or trying to figure something out, or if you're going back and forth quickly. If it's two people, like, just have that quick video call.
Totally.
And then you're
especially
done.
Like, if you're coming from like a production place, and let's say that you're a remote artist working with a studio, I would much rather have the studio, just one of the art directors or somebody just, you know, video chat me off their laptop and I can share my screen and kind of show what I'm working on and be like, ah, this is kind of what I'm thinking. This is going to go, rather than like wrapping up a QuickTime video, making sure it's compressed properly, then sending them the email, then chatting them to make sure they got the email. I would much rather
it's like, hang on, download. You're in the chat. And you're like, hang on. Didn't get the email. Okay.
Yeah.
I got the email. Okay, unzipping.
Yeah.
Okay, watching. It's like, or you just popped up your screen and you both see at the same time.
Right, and then you put on top of that like Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that. Then you're working off the same folder and you have the video chat going, and it just makes it so much easier to kind of get stuff done remotely that way.
Yeah, all the boundaries that used to make sense about making the person work in the same room have mostly gone away. Like you said, if you work with Dropbox, you could basically share files instantaneously in many ways and at least be working on the same stuff. You have all these video tools popping up, things like Slack plus Appear In. Man, that combo has been killer for us to just pop a window open really quick. It's so it's even more fluid than like a Hangouts where you just click it, you're open, you say hi, you show them your screen and you go, you know, what a great setup. So
isn't that funny how like we used to, I mean, maybe some of you out there don't remember these days, but I do, when you were at a studio or wherever you worked and you had a desk phone. And I remember somewhere when IM started kind of becoming the preferred way of communicating, the desk phone just became dustier and dustier until like it was just never used. And I just thought it was so funny that like a company was still spending money on these like expensive office phones that had like 10 lines and all this voicemail, all this wild stuff. And like literally somebody would be in the next room. And before you were too lazy to get up and go talk to them, you'd pick up your desk phone. But now not only are you too lazy to get off your butt and walk over and say hi to them, you're too lazy to pick up the phone. You just instant message them. Like, it's so crazy, dude. Like,
yeah, but there's so much, like, there's so many reasons why, I mean, now we're going back, you know, like years, you know, this is the transition 15 years ago where this stuff started happening. But the, like how much of an interruption is a phone call? Like that, like you have to stop everything you're doing, stop focusing, grab the phone, go over here. You, if you get an email or a chat, like you can ignore it for 3 minutes until you've wrapped up that thing you're doing. You finished that thought, you did that thing. Now you can respond. The phone call is just like complete stop.
True.
Well, you're hitting a point that I think is really important, that I've always seemed to work in this way, even when I was in the same room with people. And maybe it's just a motion design thing or a creative industry kind of thing, but this idea that you need space to create what you're going to make, and you need to carve out that time, however you do that as an artist. So many things of what we do, and as you know, as 3D artists for sure, but as an After Effects artist, as a photographer, as a coder, is really just like time in front of a screen with our headphones on, or however you get focused to like get the work done, right? So a lot of this stuff comes down to being self-disciplined enough to understand how you get work done, right? No boss is going to be over your shoulder saying, now is the hour you need to go like put in the work. In many ways, I guess what I'm saying is, it's almost like I've been training for working on my own, even when I was at a studio, because many studios where I worked basically said, here's what you need to do. Here's the deadline, get it done. And then it's up to me to like, either do it now or do it after lunch or do it at midnight. But it was really up to me to hit the deadline and make it good and make it what they said they wanted. And that's ultimately what I think a lot of our jobs are, is to like figure out what we're going to do, say when we're going to get it done, and then set up our time and set up our room and set up our office or set up our whatever, your creative space, to give yourself time to get it done. So when you bring up things like email, Chris, what triggered me about this was when you bring up things like interruption, not email, about phone calls, is we have these tools now that capture information and let us see it later, right? This idea of asynchronous learning, not that I have to be on the phone call with Chris right now or even on a video call. Understanding what things you could put in Slack or put in an email and then you could get an answer later. And understanding the difference between that and I need to know now is such a big part of creative like working, right? And so I guess, man, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but something about this makes me want to talk about, what are the rules? What are the rules that you set up in place to be able to work remotely? And yeah, maybe we could kind of go around and say like, understand that each person works in a slightly different way. Understand what those things are that you could do to produce the best results. And then how do you communicate out into the world to let everyone else know the best way to get work done? Is that clear? Am I going crazy today? I feel like there's a few thoughts in there.
No, that's good stuff in there.
One of them, I'll just say off the bat, and we're all doing this now for different reasons, but we all have our headphones on.
You introduced this idea to me. I do like this idea.
Yeah, and something I started even before Digital Kitchen, I think I've always listened to music while I worked. I always loved music. And I guess I just always assumed that when somebody had their headphones in, it's kind of a like, don't talk to me space. And maybe this comes from like being on the elevated train in Chicago or something, but there's something about somebody having headphones on that screams, don't effing talk to me right now. So when I started working in the industry, I really got focused, I would often put my headphones on even when I wasn't listening to something. And it was literally almost like a trigger for me to start working. And it was also a trigger to other people to say, or it was like a message to other people to say, hey, I'm in focus mode right now. Unless it's important, try not to bug me. So that, as an example, is like a rule that you may have to communicate to your office mates and stuff like that. Sometimes you have to remind people. But, you know, those rules and understanding how you set up your world, I think is a really important part of this discussion. Because if you're building your own office at home, or maybe even a rented office or a co-working space, how do you set those rules up so that you are the most productive? Do you guys have any thoughts about that? Like when you put that room together, Chad, how did you set it up in a way that you understood who you were and it helped you get more stuff done?
Yeah. I'm going to get to that. I want to go back to your other topic, because I have an interesting like thought on that, on the headphones do not disturb kind of mentality. And I think that really started to become an industry norm when everybody thought that it was a good idea to have open office spaces. When open office spaces were like considered a good idea, which we can have a whole other podcast on why I think that's a terrible idea for productivity. It became not only a necessity to have headphones on so that you could just not listen to the chatter of the room, but also your ability to focus. So that was kind of the I'm working, please don't talk to me kind of symbology going on with the headphones, which I saw happen as at about that same time. Personally for me, like headphones are a must because I'm in my house. My kids are home at like 3, but my kids are older. I get this question a lot, like, how do you work from home when you have kids? It's, you know, they're always running in and bothering you. My kids are older. I have a 13-year-old and 11-year-old. So they know when dad's working not to come in here or to knock or to keep it quiet when I'm on a phone call with you guys or whatever. I have my wife on a hangout over here. I can just be like, hey, I'm doing a podcast. Can you tell everybody to keep it down? And she helps me out. And that's a huge thing. Making sure that everybody in your household is supporting what you're doing is important. Cause if she was like, well, no, I'm just going to go about my day the way I would normally go about my day. I'm going to vacuum. I'm going to do whatever. Then that would make it really hard for me to do what I do. So it's a team effort. The other thing about the headphones is I invested in an expensive pair of noise canceling headphones because I have neighbors that are pretty close to me, and out this window, their kids will be playing really loudly. So I knew if I wanted to be distraction free, I was going to have to get some noise canceling headphones. That on top of setting clear ground rules to your kids, your roommate, your parents, whoever is living there with you, about your space and what that space is meant for and the importance of that space. Somebody asked me, I forget where it was, like, how do you keep your kids from logging you out of your computer or screwing up some install or something? And I say, it's really easy. You don't touch dad's computer. Like that's the rule. It's like, you don't ever touch it. It's not yours. And this is how I clothe you. This is how I feed you. So if you value those things, don't touch it. And as long as you're clear about the rules and everybody understands the reason that you're there and the reason that you're able to work from home is because and that's the other thing, getting back to what you're saying. An artist that is an undisciplined remote artist will not be working very much. Because an undisciplined remote artist will not get very many jobs, because they just won't. You have to be disciplined. You have to get your job done. Be available to people that need you available. Make them feel like you are there. That you're just a click away at any time, and that's really important to set some trust areas with clients or coworkers. If they think that you're off working on three jobs at once and you're never at your desk, and then they're not going to want to hire you again. And if you're reliable, if you show that you care about the environment that you work, that you're not sitting at a Starbucks, that you're not sitting in, you know, a busy room, you're walking around, then they're going to take you more seriously. And not everybody has the room to do that, but at least just making yourself available, being consistent, that sort of thing. I feel like I'm raving now, but anyway.
Chris, you're also new at working from home, at least with the brothers. What have you found was hard about the transition? Because we, just to be clear, we all used to work, well, Chris and I were in a shared office space for many years. And that was a nice way, like, to work. To sit across from each other, we could always talk to each other, and I could kind of put my head around the computer. Yeah.
The lean over and like, hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Right. I have a Cinema 4D question, Chris. Which, by the way, is really great, guys. If anybody else could just work next to Chris, you know, and just stick their head around and ask questions.
I don't think he'd get much done if I was there.
Highly recommended. But yeah, like, so then, you know, I moved out of Chicago, and the office space also shut down, which left you, Chris, and the brothers like
stranded.
Stranded, like figuring this out. So, and you actually were thinking about finding another office space and all these other things, you know, what, so maybe you could talk about that transition and how it was, and if you have any tips for anyone out there.
Sure. I did get to see this from both sides, like doing it horribly, which educated me on how to do it right the second time. Because right before the artist co-op space was going up and we were going to be joining that, that's when I had done some tutorials for Grayscale Gorilla. I had made City Kit, but I wasn't like an official part of the company, but all that stuff was going well, where I was like, I think I can like make a career out of this part of it, like this new focus. So I left my full-time job and I started focusing a lot more on the Grayscale Gorilla stuff. And we are expecting this artist co-op space to open. But if anybody's ever dealt with like trying to like do renovations on a house or a building or an office, everything takes 10 times longer than you think it will. So the guy who was putting the office together, it was like, oh, it's going to be ready this time. And then, no, next month, maybe 2 months after that, maybe here. So, from the day I left, I was like, okay, I got like a month until I can be in office space. It'll be a nice little transitional time. Cool, whatever. It was 5 months until I actually got to go into the office space, where there's desks and internet, and it was ready to rock. So I was actually kind of in the worst circumstance, where it was very unofficial. Like, I'm working from home abstractly on a variety of Grayscale Gorilla things and various freelance projects. But like, it was like, well, I don't really have to set up an official desk or an official time or any of this stuff, because a month from now, it's going to change. Oh, 2 months from now, it's going to change. 5 months from now, it's going to change. And so it kept getting pushed back. So it was super messy. Like, I was really messing up, like, when am I working? When am I at home? Like, I just had one computer and one desk, and everything was just blending together. It was like the most unproductive time I've ever had. And I mean, I did stuff, but it's just very unproductive. So then we all went to the same office space. We got to regular hours again, you know, and we can do whatever hours we want as long as we get our stuff done. But it's like, okay, we're going to come at this time, leave at this time. It's very kind of distinct. So that was super helpful. But then once that, you know, once you were moving away and that office was going away, well, you know, so as most people listening probably know, that we have two full-time programmers, and they're two of my younger brothers. And we're pretty close as family goes. So, we tried to jump around to some different offices, and it just wasn't working out. It was that we were paying a bunch of rent money and we weren't really getting to interact with people in the way we want to. So it was like, all right, fine. I'll just go and set up a home office. But I knew all these lessons from how badly it had gone before. So we set up all these rules of the way we're going to do office stuff. So it's like, okay, we're going to start at this time. And when we start, we're going to go for a walk. And so, and also that. So we set up an office space. I turned my loft into an office. We have three different desks in there. We set up a speaker, and everybody's got a desk and a work computer, a different computer while they're working. And then, so we're in a distinct room. So right there, like, I get to separate when I'm like just hanging out or playing video games or just whatever else on my computer, that's in a different room on a different machine. So that automatically helps a whole bunch. And then, you know, we have pretty set hours. You know, it's flexible, but pretty set hours. And then every day we start out, everybody arrives, and then we go for a walk. And we're, you know, we're hanging out at the house, you know, and even afterward, like, they'll hang around and we'll do video games and whatnot. So we want to distinguish between work time and home time. So everybody gets to work, and we go for a walk, and we get back, and now we're at work. And I heard this via somebody else's podcast, and it's just worked really well. And then, you know, we're working, and we get lunch, and we'll just go downstairs and make lunch, or, you know, go out somewhere. And that's not superficial, it's just kind of whatever. But then we have the time we leave. And, you know, sometimes we do it early, but it's like, okay, let's go for another walk. And then now we've left work, and now we're at home. We're free to go do whatever we want again. So those very hard distinguishing limiters is just, it made it very clear when you're working and when you're not. And even it carries on. Like, on the weekend, I'll just by myself, I'm like, oh, I should be working on my NAB presentation. I'll go into the workroom, and I'll sit at that laptop, and I'll do, you know, and it helps that I have, like, all the proper software installed in that one and not necessarily on this other one. So that helps distinguish things. But yeah, I think routine and kind of knowing what's going to distract you. Like, I have a roommate that's not involved in any of this. And it's just like, okay, when during work hours, like, we're not here. We don't visit downstairs. You don't visit upstairs. We're at work. There's no reason. And it's like Chad was saying, like you have a work machine. It's not a family machine. And yes, you're at family. And yes, technically it could easily be also a family machine. But if you were at the office, that wouldn't be the case. You, like, when you're at home, like, yes, technically you're at home, but you could just as easily be in an office. And you being in an office is no, you know, it's like you're not going to be there for 8 hours or whatever it is. So the fact that you happen to be in a room nearby doesn't change that fact. So
yeah, in some ways,
if you mentally think about it correctly, if you go into it wrong, it's really easy for, you know, a roommate or a significant other to be like, hey, let's grab lunch. Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you walk the dog? Can you? It's like, no. If you can be in the wrong headspace where that can creep in. But if the headspace you're in is like, I am not here. I have traveled 3 miles away to an office. I'm working right there. I am not available to walk the dog. I can't casually grab lunch. Like, hey, maybe we can do a special lunch plan, like, on Friday. Let's plan for that and we can work around that. But I'm not casually available for the things that I wouldn't be if I was had an hour long commute.
No, that's distinguishing. You're mentioning stuff that I think is really important. And it may even sound silly when you say something like you literally leave your house, walk around the block and come back. And that's what starts up work. That almost sounds silly when you hear it on the surface. But what you're describing is treating this like a job, like really treating this like a serious thing, that you're setting the boundaries. You're like everything you guys said, I 100% agree with, setting up the boundaries, letting your family, letting your friends, letting your roommates know that this is when I'm getting work done. You know, I found almost the opposite, not the opposite. I found myself when I was starting Grayscale Gorilla that I was so excited about it. I was doing all this video and all these YouTube or Vimeo videos and hanging out on Twitter and all the doing the live shows and all this stuff. I was working so much that I actually had a hard time turning it off as well. So it for me, I think a lot of people think of working from home and they see like somebody in their boxer shorts playing video games, telling other people that they're working. I had this experience where I couldn't shut off the work mode.
I think that happens to a lot of people too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, there's always that idea of like, oh, well, you just sit around all day and do stuff. And maybe that's true for some people. They don't have the self-discipline or just something about the way that they work. They need to be off the couch, you know. But I think a lot of what we're all saying kind of comes back down to like being disciplined and setting up the habit of work. The fact that you wake up every day and you're like, all right, it's time to go to work. Like just getting dressed and taking a shower, even if you're working at home, having that schedule set up tells your brain that it's time to get work done and that it's not time to do other stuff. And for me, when I finally stopped working from home, now this is still remote work, right? Like we're still on the camera here. None of us work in the same place. However, I figured out that I needed a place to go every day. I needed an actual office. So I got a small little office, rented a little place in this little neighborhood where I live. And it's about a mile and a half from my house. And I get to ride my bike on nice days. Not today. Thank you, Sky. But that separation did two things for me. it made work more precious because I was only here for a certain amount of time. And if anybody out there is struggling with either one side or the other of this work-life balance idea of either you're working too much and not with your family enough, or you find yourself a little bit lackadaisical in your schedule and you're not getting the stuff done that you want, try doing what, I mean, I guess all three of us are saying, is setting up a specific place that you go to and you tell your brain, now is the time to work. When I set up this office and I leave home and I come here, my brain goes, this is what you do here. You don't mess around. You're not screwing around here. You're getting work done here. And here's the key. Here's the thing I didn't know it would do. When I get home, I'm much, much better at leaving work at work. Now, we're you know, building a company and we have a lot of stuff going on and there's always emails and something happens, right? But understanding that work gets done at work and home gets done at home was such a huge light bulb moment for me when it came to work-life balance in general. So I wanted to get that out there because it didn't dawn on me how much it would improve my family life as well. So I just want to help if anybody's struggling with that stuff. Any other notes here? I got a little emotional on that one. I got to take a break.
No, what's fun is that the three of us we're all working remotely and we have completely different ways of doing it. Like, I mean, Chad's dealing with family life and then the home office, and then I get to kind of just turn my loft into it, and I don't have to deal with, you know, like, I don't have a wife or kids to worry about. So like, I don't have to do that. And then Nick, you are leaving and getting your own little office to do it. And we're all working remotely and we're all showing up for the same similar hours and figuring out the same type of work, but yeah, approaching it in similar but very different ways.
I think that there's a lesson there, you know, like it's not really, there's no, everybody's going to have their own way of making it work. And you just have to kind of like be open to whatever works for you and then recognizing the patterns that work for you and try to reinforce them. But the discipline, getting back to what I think one of the underlying themes is discipline is huge, because you have to be a person that is okay with discipline. If you aren't, then you're not, it's maybe not right. It's not going to work out for you being a remote artist, because whether or not you choose to, you know, have hours that are maybe different from other people, if they're not consistent and you're not disciplined with that, then you're going to run into problems. People aren't going to be able to get a hold of you. You're not going to be available for check-ins, things like that. So discipline is definitely a really important factor. And then just being able to recognize like what works for you in your situation.
I wonder if some of that, I don't know if somebody could systematize this, but in a way I was kind of lucky where I had like that 5-month period where it's really bad, but there was that distinct end point to it where I then had whatever it was at Bomb Camp, like 3 years of time to like look back on that and see what went wrong and learn better habits and then go back and do it again. Where let's say somebody's working at a studio for a little bit, they're like, I'm going freelance, and then they leave. Like, I'm always saying, like, you want to like set a deadline of some sort where it's like, I'm going to do this thing and then do a drastic change of habit so I can reassess how that period of time went. Because if Bomb Camp hadn't been like a three year break right there in the middle, and I went from a really bad series of work habits and then tried to improve it, that transition would probably be really tough to like break yourself kind of one by one out of like each bad habit and make it succeed. I feel like you would fail before that could fix itself. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, it's almost like work, you know, go work from Starbucks for 3 months and then work from home for 3 months and see the differences. Like,
well, your Starbucks thing reminded me of another thing I wrote down here, is everyone's, you know, kind of sharing tips. I find that working from this office can some days be very isolating. Even if we're on a phone call and we're talking like this, there's still I really think it's like this human sense of being around other people that I think just humans need, or at least this human needs it, right? I'm not a very overly social, like go talk to everybody person, but simply the act of being around other people that are working or having a conversation gives me energy. It's almost like this may be a weird analogy, but when I'm home for Thanksgiving or Christmas, when I went to school and I came back home and I came back home to a big celebration or a big party, there's often family members that flew in and all this activity swarming around that. And I wasn't necessarily a part of the conversation, but I was like sitting in a chair or sitting on the couch. It's often the times I felt most like content was just being around people doing stuff that they liked doing. Does that resonate with you guys?
Yeah, totally.
This may be a little weird, but a lot of times when I need to brainstorm stuff, I don't do it at this office. And this may be another topic that we don't have time for, but what I tend to work in is modes. If I'm in a Cinema 4D mode, obviously I need this computer. If I'm doing a tutorial, I need the cameras and the mics and the lights and all that stuff. I could kind of only do that mode here. And if I ever find an excuse to do any other type of work that is not in front of the camera, in front of the mic, I try to get out of this room so that I switch up my mind mode. So oftentimes, if I need to just sit and brainstorm and get it all out, I have this feeling like I just need to like vomit, like a brain vomit out
brain
on a
dump.
Piece of brain dump. Yeah, thank you. And just get it all out on paper. I'll often go to the Starbucks. That's when I go to these more social places where I'm less distracted. I don't have 80 tabs and I don't have Cinema 4D sitting here in front of me to distract me. I get out my piece of paper and I start taking notes. So it's, you know, and again, that gets back to understanding how you work. And I've made these mistakes over and over again. But that helps me. If it's late at night, I'll go get a beer. I'll bring my piece of paper with me or the book I'm reading. And I'm the weirdo at the bar with the book and the notepads, but I love it because
that's you.
That's me. Like if you ever look around at the bar and that person in the corner is not talking and they're just like listening to a podcast and writing notes, that's me. Cause often it's just being around other people and kind of relaxing and being away. It's also a part of being away from the distractions, that even Cinema 4D, that's not really a distraction, but when I need to get it all out of my head, it is, right? So finding different modes and where you work on those different things.
That's good advice, you know, just finding what's working for you, and recognizing it. And I get the isolation thing. Like that's one thing that I still struggle with. Luckily there's user group meetings happening at least once a month that I can go to and kind of get my social fix of talking to other people in the industry, catching up with friends, that sort of thing. Otherwise, yeah, I can imagine it would be really isolating if I didn't have that, or if I didn't live near like a major city and there wasn't any user groups. I could easily see myself just being like, I gotta get out of here. I just gotta get out of this house. It's hard enough living in the Midwest and just dealing with winter, because winter is very isolating in itself, because you're just not going outside as much, you're not doing as much. So, but yeah, I mean,
you can't even see like mountains in the distance. It's flat and isolating, and then icy and isolating.
I know, it's such a depressing place that we live. It's really
why did we do this to ourselves?
I don't know.
Because that's all we get. We get winters and maybe the occasional tornado, but we don't have any earthquakes. We don't have any real poisonous animals. Like, we don't have to worry about hurricanes. No earthquakes. Like
the no poisonous. The lack of like animals that will just reach out and kill you. I really enjoy that. Michigan.
Every once in a while, you got to stop and appreciate that. Like, you don't live in Australia where
no sharks,
like everything wants to kill you.
That's sharks true. In these Great Lakes, folks. Yeah, just sharks. No, they're as big. They're practically as usable as an ocean. The waves are a little smaller, but no sharks. I'm just saying, putting that out there.
No salt either.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Although I jumped. The salt would actually help, though, doesn't it? Because
it makes you taste yummy when sharks eat you.
That's it. I think we've got mosquitoes, which kind of sucks.
Living in the city helps that a lot, though.
West Nile and all that.
But yeah, they're not some mosquitoes.
Yeah, getting back to the what you're saying, Nick, like I'm exactly the opposite, because I have I don't even know if you guys know this, but I have sensory processing disorder. which means that I get overwhelmed in situations that are really rambunctious and crazy. And I just can't focus like that. And especially that was really hard working in an open office environment, kind of coming from that place, because I was so easily distracted and just completely annoyed by external distractions just kind of bombarding me. So like a coffee shop to me is okay for me to go get coffee in. But if I was ever trying to focus with sensory processing disorder, it's impossible. Like I just like just get angry and just want to like shut up everybody. Like just like go crazy.
I might be somewhere in between the two of you where like some of the most inspired and kind of ambitious like I've ever felt was when I was in like a classroom full of other students who are like really kicking ass and like really trying and doing all these cool things. It's like, okay, like I'm super energized, but I can also, I don't want to say distracted, but it's a very specific type of distracted. It's not like, a conversation's happening, I want to be a part of it. It's like if there's a TV on in the corner and it's playing sports, like I could not care less. I don't care. But like my eyeballs are constantly drawn to it and I just see it over and over again. And it's like, and it just pulls me out. And it's the most distracting thing. Like you can be in an office environment, that's the most inspiring thing ever. And you can be in the office environment where somebody's drumming the desk or whistling or smacking their lips or shaking their yogurt or who knows what.
Shaking and you're like, their yogurt. My God.
Like I cannot handle this. Like I can't do anything. Like I have to like crank my headphones up just to like escape.
I sat next to a guy that was a mouse clapper. You know what that is?
Oh, clicking the mouse.
Yeah, somebody that had their sensitivity set so low that it would take them like five claps to make it across the screen. And I would be like, oh my God, I am going to kill this person, or I'm going to come over there and just like cut their mouse cord. Because it's those types of things that are like, that are like grating on somebody like me.
Or how about mechanical keyboards? Oh my God. If you're so selfish as to own a mechanical keyboard in an open office environment. Oh,
that would be it, dude. I have a mechanical keyboard at home, but I could never do that to anybody in an open office, man. That would suck.
Well, this maybe ties a lot of this together, which is working around other people with loud keyboards and mice sucks. They can eat your lunch in the fridge. They could steal your time, tapping you. Hey, you got a second? All that stuff, right? So more and more people are working from home. More and more businesses are understanding that this actually works and that people do get work done while they're at home. And so this is just, I think it's going to be an ongoing topic as more and more businesses decide to try this out. And more people go freelance and see how they work from home. It's going to be a big topic. I wanted to share two more things. If anyone out there wants to learn more about working from home, interested in this topic, maybe you're just getting started or want to make your working from home experience better, I want to recommend a book called Remote, which is by
37 Signals, right?
Yep, by the lovely 37 Signals, now called Basecamp. Jason and David wrote that one, and it's really well done. It talks a lot about some of the things we talked about here. They run over 50 people that work at Basecamp, and I think they said 70% of them are remote workers.
Wow.
And so they talk a lot about that. I think he actually just put up a blog post, or no, it was an interview with Kevin Rose. I'm going to try to find that too. Interview with Jason from Basecamp. Anyway, he talked a lot about remote working and things that they do to kind of help that. That's a much bigger place, obviously, with 50 people, but it was really great read. Their book about remote working called Remote is highly recommended. I revisit that book often, and a lot of the things that we do as a team come from that book. And then I'll also link up a talk that I gave 5 years ago. I just found it on Vimeo. I'm not sure how much of it is out of date as far as software and things like that, but I did a talk 5 years ago called Surviving Working at Home. And it was when I was running Grayscale Gorilla from a bedroom and Banana Camera Company as well, all the iPhone apps that I made. And I talked about what worked for me and some of the things I was going through then. So you may want to revisit that. Any other things people out there interested in this topic could go do or could go read or any other suggestions, guys?
It's not necessarily about remote working, but about productivity. I used to listen to this podcast quite a bit, The Productivityist, and I can get you a link to that. But it's just about tips of staying focused and staying on task, getting stuff done.
I would just love to hear some comments from people. Put some comments about like tips you've found for working smoother, working remotely, your habits for like just keeping your head clear, or like, you know, something driving you crazy in the office and how you fixed that problem besides, you know, getting your own little corner office isolated away from everybody else. But yeah, what's worked for you? I mean, like honestly, if anybody is trying to work remotely and you're not already kind of doing a Slack / appear in or quick video chat thing, try that workflow. Like, it's working so well for us right now, and it's come the closest to emulating an in-office environment with none of the in-office distractions
or costs. And
exactly, that is not to be ignored. But if you have anything along those lines that you found, like, definitely share that, because I'm definitely interested in any other things that we could do to, you know, simulate the office environment a little bit more. But
speaking of simulate, before we wrap, have you seen those robots that you can get? Oh. Have you seen these like iPads? They're basically an iPad on a pedestal with a little gyroscope robot.
It's an iPad on a Segway.
Exactly. I've seen these, like, and like people are like, you know, walking around the office, you know, and I just think like, God, that's so obnoxious.
That's the worst of both worlds. You can still interrupt people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the worst of both.
Distracting. It's like a dog walking in, like you have to pay attention, but I mean, there's a place for it. I've seen people do that to visit SIGGRAPH and they can't, like, you know, they're wheelchair bound or, you know, stuck in bed, or they can't travel.
That's completely different.
You get to drive around SIGGRAPH. Like, that's super cool. And it's also like a technology conference. So that's kind of neat. But if you're working in your office, you're like, oh, I can't come into work today. And you log into like the company robot and you start like bumping into people's chairs.
I'll be the guy that puts that company robot in the bathroom, in a bathroom stall, and just like keeps them there all day.
Put a paper bag over it.
I'll figure out how to make coffee.
I just think those things are so silly. But anyway. All right. Well, I mean, anyway, I think we're about done, right?
Let's wrap it up. I think we got a good set of tools for people to try if you're working from home. Thanks, Chris, for reminding everybody. We always love hearing from you guys with comments either on the blog post on our website, which is at gracegilgorilla.com, or on YouTube. So our YouTube video here, if you're watching there, we'd love to hear from you guys down below, as well as other topics for discussion. So as you guys know, if you listen to a lot of these, some of them are more technical, some of them are more about working, doing your best work, these kind of things. So whatever you guys are feeling, we'd love to hear topics from you guys. And thanks to everybody for reviewing and rating our podcast as well over on iTunes. That always helps a bunch. One last time, all the show notes, we got some good ones here coming together here. We got to get the specific noise canceling headphones from Chad here. We're going to put those in the comments as well, along with the talk and all the book suggestions. Find those down in the description on YouTube or on our podcast blog post over on Grayscale Gorilla.
Woo. But,
yeah.
Dude, cool. Fun. Good one, guys. All right. So we will see you on the next Grayscale Gorilla podcast. Bye bye.
Yes. Wow.